We're in Matthew chapter 26. We're going to start at verse 17 and read to verse 30, page 996. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Good morning, everybody. I'm grateful to God that I'm sharing today's passage with you today, this morning. Let's pray before we begin. We praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who has suffered and died because of us and on behalf of us. This is the reason why we open our hearts to him with the most honest reverence. We pray that you do speak to us, whether we are new to Christianity or have been practicing faith for many years. Please help us to listen and to respond to your scriptures. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What is a big problem today, these days? We have many big problems, but suicide is one of the biggest problems these days. This is to give up one's precious life because a person cannot overcome a big disaster. I come from Seoul, South Korea, not North Korea, but South Korea, Seoul. Suicide is a big problem. Korea is not only the country with the highest suicide rate among the OECD countries, but also the world's largest, according to WHO's data. It's far over 10,000 people dying per year, 40 people per day, and every 40 minutes. So it's a big problem. So have you ever thought that it would be better for me if I had not been born from mother's womb? Because of that, you cannot go beyond extreme problems. Jesus said the same thing to someone in today's passage. It was Judas who betrayed him and chose suicide, but our death don't solve problems at all, causing more problems, more burdens to family and friends. This is why Jesus came down on earth and laid down his life for us, because only his death can solve all problems. So he asked his disciples to honor his death through preparing and doing the Last Supper, communion, through which he wants them, us to believe in him and follow him, which he will save, all including our sins. So what is Passover? It is similar to the Last Supper, but was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. In Hebrew, Passover means to leap across, Passover. About 4,000 years ago, when the people of Israel were unable to overcome slavery in Egypt and fell into disrepair and sorrows and big burdens, God killed all the first animals and sons of people in the 10th plagues of Egypt, but he protected his people. Those that put blood of the lamb on their doors would be saved. This is Passover. This meaning is shown in Exodus chapter 12. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no evil will come upon you. God commanded in Leviticus to observe and celebrate and remember the Passover feast every year over a meal. Jesus was having a big meal to remind us of how God had delivered his people through his death. So we will look at 3 points. First one, the preparation of the Last Supper. He planned. And then second, the betrayal of the Last Supper. So suffering. His closest disciple, one of the disciples, betrayed him. Big suffering. And then we will look at the last, the victory of the Last Supper. He offered himself through death. Jesus had already made his preparations when the disciples came to him and asked, verse 17, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" This did not happen accidentally, but was very carefully planned and perfectly managed by our Lord Jesus Christ. It means that Jesus' death is not a tragedy victim nor a big accident, but it is his triumph, volunteer, victory, perfectly planned from the beginning of the creation. Let's look at verse 18. Jesus replied, "Go into the city to a certain man," not an anonymous man, but go to a certain man, "and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover." My appointed time and the Passover refers to the Jesus' death on Calvary, but look at this. I'm going to celebrate this. Jesus is not disappointing his death, but he's here celebrating his death. Passover is about his death, which was foreseen, predicted, and prophesied from Genesis and Exodus and everywhere in the Old Testament books. However, Jesus does not mourn the Passover, rather he is celebrating it. Why? Although he's sacrificing, he's dying, and he's offering himself for us, he is saving us. So he's really glad and celebrating this. Let's remember this. Last week, I went on the streets in Croydon, and I met one man who contradicted with the Bible knowledge. He seems to know many Bible passages, but keep claiming the Bible had nothing to do with Jesus. And he's arguing with me. So I was reading Genesis 3:21 with him. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. It's so sad. He couldn't see Jesus' part. He could see many parts, intellectual parts, but he couldn't see Jesus. God had already planned to sacrifice Jesus to clothe our sinful and shameful sins and death penalty with Jesus' blood. God skinned off and shed his blood, yet he clothed our shameful sin with Jesus' blood. So it's Jesus, the Passover, and the preparation is mentioned from the beginning of the Bible. And here, today's passage, Jesus is obviously not mourning, but celebrated because he's saving all of us. Let's remember that Jesus was celebrating and not afraid of his death at all because of us, on behalf of us. Jesus was well focused on his death. He's celebrating the Passover, his death journey. He prepared in the beginning, well prepared. It's not accidentally happened for us. Let's remember this. He planned in the beginning. So let's see, look at second point. The betrayal of the Last Supper, verses 20 to 25. However, the shocking betrayal was placed by one of the most important disciples. I'm sure that many of us can overcome many disasters, many problems. But when we face internal issues, such as big family issues, big health problems, it's really painful and hard to overcome. My case is that my mother has done 4 major operations because she had a big cancer. So her breast was been cut off, and liver is now remaining only 1/3, and she's seeing doctors. I thought my mother's big illness would never come. And I've got 3 children. They are 18, 17, and 15. And I thought my children would be all great, good believers, good students, behave very well. But I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. It's really hard. It's really hard. And I used to run a Korean congregation as well as international. I started international things like international cafe. But, almost every year, people who practiced false belief, I could overcome. I could, fight, good fight. I could have good fights. But when my trusted people who betrayed me, I couldn't, it's really hard. It's really, really hard. Most of all, my sins are the most painful among all the others. We need Jesus. We can't overcome by ourselves. Jesus prophesied of the betrayal of Judas while having a dinner. In this crucial moment, betrayal from the nearest person would have been so painful to Jesus. I think it's more painful actual physical pain on the Calvary. In verse 21, he says a very shocking word. Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. The disciples were amazed at this as they ate the food. They were very sad and began to say to him, all saying, surely you don't mean me, Lord. Then Jesus replied, the one who has dipped in his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. Woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. Jesus answered, you have said so. But he didn't reveal Judas' betrayal identity fully. So gracious. And others, his grace and mercy applied to other disciples too. Until that stage, the very last stage, all of the other disciples couldn't understand Jesus' journey, death journey, but he keeps explaining to them and bearing with them. Being very generous. Why did Judas betray Jesus? Because, yes, first of all, Judas loved worldly money, but behind, he was very much disappointed about Jesus, who was not a Messiah he had expected, wanted. Believe that Jesus' death overcomes everything, even Judas' sin. Because Jesus' blood, sacrifice, is the most precious and powerful of all. I thought someone who split church never be forgiven. I thought suicide, would be never forgiven. But Jesus' blood, Jesus' sacrifice overcomes everything. The most precious and most important thing is about Jesus Christ. Anyone could be forgiven. But Judas' case, his big mistake is that he sorrowed about his sin, but he didn't come back to the Lord. He didn't beg Jesus' mercy. He didn't repent. That's the big problem. We are like Judas, yeah? We worship on Sunday, we sing beautifully. I look, okay, yeah? On Sunday, particularly. But what about our daily lives during weeks? Hidden sins, by thoughts and by deeds, we are worse than, probably worse than Judas. Judas was following Jesus. He tried to give up daily for 3 years. But we repent. We come to Jesus. We all sin. Until we go to heaven, we will sin. But thing is that we don't focus on ourselves. We don't mainly focus on ourselves, our sin, sinful natures, our weaknesses. But mainly, we focus on Jesus Christ, what he planned, what he suffered on the cross. And we focus on his grace and mercy on the cross. That's the most important thing. Jesus kept carrying on, even though Judas was behaving very wicked. If I were him, if I were Jesus, I would, turn the table upside and down and even kick all the disciples out, Jesus is just carrying on his plan. Thank God that Jesus is not like us. Please remember that he is not like us, full of compassion, keeps trusting untrustful disciples. He could do Passover, the Last Supper, by himself alone, but he included disciples, even Judas. He's very generous. Please remember. Please rely on us. But the Jesus, the only solid rock. So if we trust in him and on him, we will not be shaken by tragedy, by big troubles, big problems. The last point, the victory of the Last Supper, verses from 26 to 30. Most of church traditions built their foundations on this paragraph. It is really important to see that Jesus tells his disciples to commemorate him, not his birth, not his wonderful signs and wonders, miracles, not his amazing resurrection, but mainly his death, which is the most supreme thing for us to remember. Verses 26 to 28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. "This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So it is simply symbolic as two things. He broke the bread and ordered, "Taken it," which represents his broken body, "chewed out for you and for me. No bones broken." It assures that God will not allow that Satan will break our bones, physical body, nor spiritual status forever. Second, he took the cup and ordered, "Drink it from it," which represents that he shed his blood on the cross. It is not just a little sprinkle, shedding a lot of blood. None left. It means that none of our sins will remain before the final judgment, because Jesus shed all his blood, none left. So our sins will be no more. His blood protects us from the wrath of God, the death we deserve. Remember that the blood of Jesus is the only ransom price, only the remedy for our release from our sinful bondages. Beloved brothers and sisters, please remember that our bodies and souls need deep nourishment by remembering his body and his blood on the cross. On every day of our lives and at every day our worships. Verse 29, Jesus himself determined to say that, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Amazing! He will not drink until we meet our Lord Jesus in the heaven. But we can, while he's not drinking, we can drink wine here. We can enjoy other things. What an amazing Lord. Because of his suffering, his endurance, we are free. We are free to enjoy. But we will massively enjoy in the heaven with him. He mentioned that, "I will drink it with you." He's kept from planning, from Genesis. He's always including us. Even in the moment of having the Last Supper, he's including disciples. He's including us. And he will include in the victory, final one as well. Isn't that great? Jesus' victory over death was already finished, as his sacrifice already offered and done for us. Offered once for all. He doesn't need to be died. He doesn't need another Calvary. He did once for all. It means that our sins is already forgiven. We only repent. We were on the Calvary according to Romans. We were with him. Let me read for you Romans 8:28-30. So it's mentioned all the important words, all the past tenses. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's the called. He's not calling. It is not he will call us. Called. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. It is not God will know us. It is not God will predestine us. Already done. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Even glorification, even justification, even predestination, it's already done. You know, Romans is the Jewish court terms. So God declared that, I already predestined you. I already called you. I already cleansed you. I already justified you. Even I already glorified you. Because not because of our behaviors, good behaviors, not because of us, but because of Jesus Christ. He already prepared for his death. He's already, endured to suffer and already won victory. When you sin again, yes, we all will certainly do. We do not need to be too frightened. Yes, a little bit frightened, so that it makes us to kneel down before our Lord, and it reminds us our Lord Jesus Christ's blood, precious blood, yes, but we are not too frightened. We are not too afraid of it, even our sins, even big troubles, even big tragedy. We should all celebrate what Jesus has done for us. He did everything for us. And get and enjoy great confidence in him. There are no any further ingredients needed for our salvation. Just remember, Jesus asked us, just remember what he went through. Verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's sing, let's celebrate about Jesus' death. Let's focus on it, on him. The Greek word of the tree in the middle of Eden in Genesis is the same Greek word in Revelation chapter 22. It is the tree of Calvary, its cross. God asked Adam and Eve, enjoy everything. But one thing you should remember, the tree of in the middle, Jesus Christ. God, just remember one thing. The rest you can enjoy. But they didn't obey it. And I keep telling my children, they keep annoying me, you know. Boys are taller than me. Oh, it's, God is better. But, it's really hard. Really, really hard. Teenagers, boys. Yeah, those who are laughing could understand. Yeah, I keep telling them, yes, I may be able to endure, yeah, keep enduring with your sinful things, yeah. But just remember one thing, your Lord Jesus Christ. Come back to the Lord. Yeah, I can forgive you. Jesus can forgive you. With a very, very big thing, I may not forgive you, but Jesus will forgive you. Yeah, but don't forget one thing. Jesus Christ, who planned his death journey for you and endured and suffered for you, and finally had a victory for you on the Calvary. So you should celebrate it. You should remember it. You must commemorate it. You must meditate it. You must thank God because of Jesus. Let's remember and commemorate Jesus' body and blood shed for you. If today's passage is too, if my English is too bad for you to remember, just one thing to remember, his body broken for you, his blood shed for you, planned in the beginning, it's already done. for you. Let's sing what he has done for you and for me. Let's pray. Father God, we do remember and thank you because Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain for us, we sincerely appreciate his sacrifice for us. Lord, we are mentally, physically, and financially breaking down due to our sins and our ignorance. Thus, we are not moving forward anymore or find it very hard to keep going, even though we are keep going. When we solve one thing after the other, all the big problems keep coming. We know that it's like that until we die. This makes us long for death sometimes because we could not overcome the bad situations, nor we could change. No matter how hard we try to correct it, nobody can change the dark situation. But we honor that Jesus' death is different. So we want to remember and strengthen ourselves with the power of the Lord Jesus, his body and his blood shed, broken for us. We pray that you will rescue us from our sin, our life, and our problems of death, and that we will give you praise and glory forever. Lord, please let us focus well on his death, which is the only way for us to live here with peace and in heaven permanently. We do want to remember what you did for us. We ask in Jesus' name and his glory alone. Amen.